Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Let us pray. Gracious God, what powerful words. Words that Jesus himself prayed that the followers he left behind would come together and love each other in the same way that he loved them and loved God. Lord, I pray that we are able to love in that way. Lord, I pray that the words that I am about to speak are your words, that the message is for each of us, and that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive that message today through your Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today is the day that we are honoring our graduates, high school and college. I think back to my younger days long ago, and my children's younger days. And I think about my grandchildren as they are growing, but I would like you to think about your younger days. Do you remember all the milestones that you looked forward to as you were growing up? Of how when someone would ask you how old you were, you always made sure you put that half in there. Like I'm 4 1/2 or 6 1/2 or 8 1/2. Because, you know, that meant that you were much closer to that next age than from that younger age. Do you remember the anticipation of starting your first day of school? Kindergarten or first grade, whatever it may have been. The butterflies you may have had when you started junior high school or high school. Can you remember that anticipation of turning 16 and getting that learner's permit so that you could begin to drive? If you went on to schooling after high school, whether it be to a community college, to a technical school, or to a university, awaiting in anticipation of hearing whether you had been accepted, and then the excitement of that first day. Today, our graduates have reached a new milestone, one that will begin a new journey for them. And I often think of how hard it is at the age of 18 or even 21 to know what it is that we want to do with the rest of our lives. I didn't answer my call till I was 44, so it took me 44 years to figure out what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. For those who are graduating from college, what an exciting time for you as you begin this new journey in your life. A grown-up journey. A time where you now are on your own. For our high school graduates who will be beginning that journey to carry them on for their future of being on their own. And regardless if you're graduating from high school or graduating from college, you are going to have struggles. You have probably already experienced struggles in your life as it is. I'd like you to look at every person who is sitting in this congregation. Each and every person here has struggled. Maybe we haven't struggled with the same issues that you have struggled with or are struggling with, because we're all unique individuals. But every single one of us have had life struggles. The question is, how do you handle those struggles? Sometimes I think we become impatient when a struggle is placed before us. But what we need to understand are, in those moments of impatience, in those moments when we are trying to figure out how it is that we are going to deal with that struggle, we need to remember that God is with us. We need to remember that God has given a promise to us. And we need to remember that those moments may also be a gift to us. A gift and a promise that can bring peace to what is happening now in our lives as we're waiting for the not yet. See, the gift is that God, who has come, promises us that He will come again. That is the witness from the scripture that we heard this morning from Karen in John's vision from God. Now, the scripture that she read is the very end of the book of Revelation. We need to remember how that book began. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show His servant what must soon take place, He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads it aloud, the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keeps what is written in it, for the time is near. I'd like you to think about those words. I'd like you to think about the time period in which they were written, almost 2,000 years ago. Was John wrong when he wrote those words, that the time is near? Not at all. John was absolutely right. It did take place. But more to the point for each and every one of us is it is still taking place, and it will take place again and again and again until all of God's work is brought to completion in Jesus Christ. To understand this and to understand the power in this, we need to grasp John's understanding of time. Time in God's arena. Because God's time is not the same as our time. See, God's time is not sequential as you and I know it. We are told in 2 Peter, do not ignore this one fact, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years. Are like one day. What we also could say is God's time is concentric. And when I say that, the point that I make is that the past, the present, and the future move back and forth, up and down, that they intertwine together. And so this is what is meant by what will take place soon, but will come again and again and again. See, we need to be aware that Jesus is coming. But we need to be aware that Jesus is coming to us always. Jesus is coming to us to bring his light into the darkness. Jesus is always coming to us to bring his hope when we are hopeless. He is coming to us to bring his peace to us when we are experiencing distress or conflict. Jesus is coming to us to bring us joy when we are downhearted. And so when we are feeling like we are in that place of darkness, when we are feeling as if we are hopeless, when we are experiencing distress or conflict, or we are downhearted, we need to remember that the resurrected Christ has come. He is coming, and he will come again. He will come when we need him. Do I have you totally confused? Are you sitting there saying, what is she talking about? See, it's really quite simple, but for some reason we want to make faith so complicated. Jesus came to reveal the very nature of God and who God is. And he did that, as we heard in the Gospel of John this morning. He says, righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and those you know who have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that your love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. See, the name is love. Self-giving. Life-giving. Sacrificial love. And it is through that love that God has created his church, that he has created a community of people who are in Jesus, who want to follow Jesus and to take that love out into a hurting world. They are a people who believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a way that draws them to one another and then sends them forth to do the work that we have been called to do. Regardless of what happens to us here on earth, no matter how much Satan tries to pull us away from the Lord, no matter what struggles come our way, what trials and tribulations we go through, we need to remember that Jesus is there. We need to remember that every time we fall, that there is a hand extended to lift us up. But we also need to remember that we are not to hold on to that hand for our benefit alone. We are to allow that hand to lift us up so that we may go and love one another. Jesus wants us to come together in community. He wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to build one another up. But he wants us to go out and reach those who are hurting, those who are hopeless, those who are in distress. So when we're gathered here, Jesus is with us. Remember his words, where two or three are gathered, I am there. God promised to send his Holy Spirit to dwell among us. And so when we're gathered together, God's Holy Spirit is here with us. But Christ and the Holy Spirit also go with us. Today we are going to celebrate Holy Communion. A table that is open for everyone. And when we come to that table, we need to remember that Jesus is there. When we leave this place and go out into our communities, we need to remember that Jesus goes with us. I know, and you probably know, many people who talk about the book of Revelation, who talk about the end times and the signs that we are seeing in our world today. For some people, it becomes almost an obsession. But if our hearts belong to Jesus, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we don't need to worry about the end times. We don't need to worry about when it is that Christ is going to return. Remember, Jesus himself said, I don't know the day or the hour. Only God the Father knows. So we don't need to anticipate that day if we belong to him. The only thing we need to anticipate about that day is the joy and the love and the peace that we're all going to experience. However, my friends, there are a lot of people who do not know Jesus. So what we need to worry about is taking Jesus to them. Because the gift of salvation is a free gift. And we are asked to give that gift to others. So let's do that. Let's share the good news to the brokenhearted, to the beaten down, to those who feel hopeless and desperate, to the poor, to the oppressed, and even to the cynical. See, when we are sharing the good news, Jesus comes. Because Jesus has promised to come to give love and to give life and to give it abundantly. So while I know that Jesus will come again, that's a promise we have all been given, I am more concerned about Jesus coming right now. Coming into the lives of those who are broken and hurting so that they can be healed and made whole. I am concerned about Jesus coming now to our youth so that they will know how much they are loved. With an unconditional love. I am more concerned about Jesus coming right now to those who are empty so that they can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I am more concerned about Jesus coming right now to his church to fill his people with a passion for those who do not yet know him as their Savior. I am more concerned about Jesus coming to fill our hearts with a servant's heart. To take us from this place out to those who are waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for. But my friends, you and I have the answer. That answer is Jesus Christ. And so let's go and give them that chance to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.